Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are yet again, getting ready to hook up with our friends over in Canada, Drex in the Late Shift. We do this on Tuesday nights into Wednesday morning. I always have a good time talking to Drex. So as we get ready to hook up our satellites with them, let's give them a little cue here.
All right, he should be there. Ladies and gentlemen, please say once again hello to Ryan Recca. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Drex, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Did you ever get the T-shirt we sent you?
Not yet. Is it one of the used ones? Or what?
Yeah, it's the only one I could find. We got it 2 weeks ago. I had that shipped out. I can't believe it hasn't made it your way yet.
Oh, that's going to be ripe when it gets here. Did someone launder it first?
Oh, yeah. It's good that it's not like it's coming to you pre-used. It's just was used and then washed.
Someone put it in a washing machine with some Gain, and we're good to go. Some Tide, it's going to smell good. It's going to smell like I borrowed a shirt from a friend.
No, there was detergent use, so it would be like, there's a little bit of love built into it. Look at it that way.
Oh, that does not sound pleasant at all.
No holes. It barely looks faded. It's perfect.
Who wore it mostly?
That was our producer, Mike, who happened to have it in the background, and he wore it once at a station event. They gave it to him, but they don't make it like they used to here with the giveaways. There's no T-shirt closet somewhere. It's not like it used to be in radio.
Why is radio not spending money on radio? What's going on?
I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, I was shocked to learn the differences between American and Canadian radio, that you guys actually have copywriters in Canada. I was shocked to learn that.
Oh, tell me what you learned. I'll tell you whether you're right or not. What did you learn?
Yeah, so I learned that at Canadian radio stations, there's actually someone's job to write the copy for commercials. Here in the United States, the salesperson writes the script, hands it to someone that will be willing to read it, and that's how the commercial is made. So
wow, really?
You actually have people that are trained to be creative into writing these commercials. We really don't have
10 of them that work in our building here.
We have no one. They're the salespeople that write them. And then we have, like, sometimes there's agencies that they outsource it to. They have their own creative team. Back in the day, you know, every radio station used to have their own creative team that would do this for copywriting. But then eventually the agencies came in and they took over that role. And then eventually the agencies went away. And then it was just, okay, we're going to get the salesperson to write something up.
I wouldn't trust a salesperson to write a commercial ever.
I know.
I trust them to sell, and they're very good at it.
Yeah.
But I don't trust them to write a radio commercial.
Yeah. So when I learned that you still have copywriters, I was just flabbergasted. I thought, oh, that is just wonderful.
You know what? When I first moved to Canada 10 years ago, I was the program director of a radio station in a town of 10,000 people.
Okay. Very small town.
Very small town. And the radio station I ran had a copywriter.
Oh, wow.
Full-time copywriter.
That's awesome.
Lovely guy. Still works in radio. His name's John Kareev.
Very creative guy?
Yeah, totally creative. And he is a great on-air jock as well. Like, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of classic rock.
Wow. See, I don't know what other differences I've learned. That may be one of the bigger ones that have, you know, embedded into my memory. But that, to me, is... It goes to show that you don't cut a lot of corners at the radio stations there in Canada, which is awesome to hear. Oh,
don't worry, there's other corners they cut.
Oh, so they find other places to get around.
Oh, yeah, right. You know what radio's like. They, you know, we'll spend money on this, but we're not going to spend money on that. It's the same everywhere. It's the same everywhere.
Do you do giveaways, by the way, at night?
On our show, well, our show's national, so we don't always have a lot of stuff to give away. Occasionally, if a listener sends me a little something in the mail, I'll get their return address, mm-hmm. and I'll send them a little something.
Oh, that's really nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a budget. I'm working on it.
All right, you do it. You be you.
I do what I can, man. Look, I would love nothing more than to be able to have prizes for our fantastic Canadian listeners, but always something I can rustle. Yeah, I did do a giveaway once, and it was a Tim Hortons gift card that I paid for myself.
Those aren't the great giveaways. Those are not at all.
No. Oh, you got to understand, though, to a Canadian, getting a Tim Hortons gift card is like being gifted something gold-plated.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. Now you grew up in Michigan.
Yeah.
So you would remember having the Tim Hortons cafe and bake shops around, right?
Yeah. They started to pop up when I was probably in high school. They weren't always mm-hmm. there growing up, and you know we wouldn't go there that often. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts is much more popular here. So
exactly, it'd be like you giving out a $20 gift card for Dunkin' Donuts.
If people don't go crazy for that though, not like
they wouldn't. Oh, okay.
No, not like they would Tim Hortons in Canada.
I go crazy for a $20 Dunkin' Donuts card.
How far would you drive to a radio station to redeem that prize? Would you drive 20 minutes to pick up a $20 gift card?
Oh, of course I would, because I love seeing the inside of radio stations. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you just like the idea of opening the door, talking to the receptionist, trying to peek to see if any of the personalities walk by, and then you'll be done?
Absolutely, for all of those reasons.
Are you one of those nerdy radio people that when they go to a different market, they'll schedule tours to look at the facilities?
Course. Of course. Absolutely. No question.
That changes when you have kids. I can't convince my wife to do that if we go somewhere else.
Oh, and ditch the wife and kids. Just go by yourself.
I don't know how to do that when I travel with them. It's like impossible.
Well, you set them up with a day at a museum. Say, yeah. All right, I've booked you. I've got all three of you some tickets for the Natural History Museum or whatever it is. I'm going to go hang out with some radio guys for a couple hours. That's all right. Just do it for a couple hours. That's totally fun.
They don't understand that. Do you have any scandals going on in Canada right now?
Oh, the plastic scandal.
Yeah, I want to know about this.
Have you heard about this?
Only from the one sentence you told me, and that's it.
So last week, and look, I think all governments across the world know that maybe we use a little bit too much plastic, mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out ways to cut back on plastic, right? So, you know, Starbucks might introduce cardboard straws or something to that effect, or some cities have banned single-use plastic bags. So last week, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, got up on stage and said, you know, by a certain year, we want to get rid of all single-use plastics in Canada. We want to stop using them. So, you know, like plastic forks, spokes, knives, spoons, straws, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was questioned about what his family is doing to cut down on single-use plastics, and he fumbled through what can only be described as a word salad, trying to tell people that he uses cardboard-type drink bottles.
Cardboard-type drink bottles?
Exactly.
What?
You know how you sometimes do you have a Whole Foods in St. Louis? Like, sometimes if you go into the Whole Foods, there might be, like, expensive water in a cardboard box that you can buy, right?
Oh, weird. Yeah,
for
I don't
people
know.
To, like, to throw their money at things that are pointless. But cut to today, he was at a youth meeting in his riding in Montreal. And there was media in the room. It was a bit of a pizza party. Mm-hmm. Guess what was sitting on the table?
Ooh,
massive handfuls of plastic forks.
Of course.
Everyone's screaming hypocrisy on the Canadian Prime Minister. Hey, last week you were telling us to stop using single-use plastics, and here you are at a pizza party with a pile of plastic forks.
Wow, that was impressive. You said all those P words, the tongue twister. That was really good.
I practiced.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you do warm-ups before you go on the air?
Yeah, I scream at Bob.
La, 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 la. Look, you don't do any, like, voice warm-ups or anything?
No, we just scream at each other. It's much easier.
Much easier. I love the idea that the biggest scandal in Canada right now has to do with the plastic fork.
You got any scandals happening down there in the States?
All the time. You can't keep track anymore. There's
always a bit
scandals.
Of a list going on, isn't there?
Yeah, we have the Democratic debates that are happening this week, so I'm sure there'll be some new scandals we haven't figured out yet that they'll bring up.
there's 3 days you won't get back live from California.
It's in Miami, so it's down in Florida.
It's Miami.
Yeah.
So here's what I love is how many candidates are there? Like 20 plus of them?
Yeah, so they had to split it up over 2 days. They drew names from a hat, and it's 10 on one day, 10 on another day.
Right.
Yeah. And the first day is the Wednesday, and it's not as good of a name. So it's kind of like any other like festival you've been to. They don't put the best shows on the first day. They save them for the second.
They're putting
the
weak ones on Wednesday, is that right?
Kind of, yeah. So there's some that may be considered headliners, but when it comes to politics and the Democrats, if you draw, let's say any of these individual politicians drew 100 people at a rally, that's impressive anymore. So it's almost like it's so minimal compared to like a Donald Trump who will go and put a stadium full of people together just for one of his rallies. So,
who is your money on? And look, early money. So out of those 20, who do you think likely has the clear opportunity to become the Democratic nominee going into 2020?
I don't know. Joe Biden probably still is leading in the polls, and he is probably the legit best chance outside of, I still think, Bernie Sanders, because it depends on how the Democrat Party handles a Bernie Sanders this year. He was very popular before, but they didn't give him a fair shake. Who knows what could happen this time around? But
and here's the thing, too, is whoever that nominee is, Ryan, they have to be able to go head to head with Donald Trump in the presidential debates. Mm-hmm. That's where the sparks are going to fly. And look, we know that all presidential candidates get into rooms and practice and have someone play the role of who the other person is. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that situation, because Donald Trump can say things that, that can tick people off. And it's how they react in that moment on that stage is going to really tell the story.
It's hard to match the hustle and presence of Donald Trump on stage when the two of you are on.
Oh, no question.
It's very difficult because he just really demands all the attention. So, like, let's say there's a Joe Biden up there. He has that sort of factor that could be difficult, because he did do, you know, the vice presidential debates when he was running for re-election, of course. You had Paul Ryan was going to be this great debater, but Joe Biden handled him pretty well. And then, you know, Bernie Sanders could barely, he's good at, like, he's good at putting his point out there. He's good at making a strong argument based on what he believes on. But he is not someone that you would look at as having the same charisma as a Donald Trump. So I think he would be just completely wiped out there compared to him.
And look, the thing that Joe Biden needs to be cautious of is the same thing that took him down in the 80s, which is plagiarism. Don't copy someone else's speech, bud.
He's got a lot
of he ran to be president, I think it was in the 80s at some stage. And he was knocked out pretty early on because it was discovered that he'd plagiarized a British MP's speech.
A couple times that happened. It wasn't just once. So he's had a few issues with that. But that's, again, if that's the worst that's happened for Joe Biden, I feel like he can confidently go up on a stage and just brush that off. If they're going like toe to toe, that's going to be some fireworks going on right there, because he's someone that's not going to back down against a Donald Trump. But
20 people, though, that's it was the same the last election. How many Republican candidates were there? 24, 25?
They had to break it up, not over 2 days, but they usually had like the earlier debate, and then they had the main event debate later in the night. So I don't think it was that many. There's probably like 15 or 16 or so. I don't think it got up to 20.
Imagine being one of those presidential candidates that's not good enough to sit at the adult table. They have to sit at the kids' table.
That makes you feel
bad. Wouldn't that be a knock to your ego?
And they did it based on polling numbers. So if you had to hit a certain threshold to get to the main event, the Democrats are doing it a little bit different, at least for this first one. They just drew names out of a hat. So it's not based on polling.
That's the easiest way to do it, right?
Kind of, but I don't think it's a smart way to do it. I mean, if they're trying to evenly distribute their candidates, I guess that's the way you do it out of a hat. But this is not the way you would get your main contenders together at once to make sure one can separate from the rest.
How many people work on your show? So there's you, Mike, who else?
And Ben. So producer Mike is in.
So three of you.
He comes in after the Total Information PM ends, and he covers a lot of the sports programming that we have in the afternoon. And then the first part of my show, he is in the producer booth. And then at 12:30, Ben starts, and then he goes through the morning show. So he runs the producer booth there.
So between the three of you, have you ever settled anything by drawing something out of a hat?
No, but I don't think we've had a dispute. We've had to do that. Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors?
That's a great way. You don't have you have conflicts that way where you have to make a decision based on paper, rock, scissors?
No, I just tell them what we're doing.
That's it. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, remember, I just do my thing.
Remember, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker, not with three other people.
I'm in the studio alone. During the day, there's people everywhere. You got news people running over there, traffic people. You got people coming in the studio. You got multiple producers. They're doing their thing. You got program directors. You got sales. You got all these people that are going. At night, it's me in this room alone, and that's it. So, yeah, whatever
I
say
heaven?
Goes.
That's heaven for us. We get to do our thing, man. when was the last time that you were air checked, where you had to sit down with your program director and go through a tape of Ryan's show? How often does that happen?
Not that often. I wish it would happen more often.
It does? Don't say things like that.
Yeah.
It means you're kicking goals, man. If the program director isn't worried about what you're doing on air, then you're fine.
Are you not sensitive as a personality? Like, do you feel like you're always concerned that you're doing the wrong thing, or do you have that that gloom that goes around it?
I think I'm going to get fired every day because of what I do on the radio.
I know. That's something that I never felt until I started doing this talk show. I feel
like it's the greatest feeling ever, though.
Why is that a good feeling for you?
Because my boss once told me, he goes, I implicitly trust you. That's what he said to me. His words, I implicitly trust you. And sometimes I might do something a little towards the line on the radio, but I know where the line is. I've learned from my four mistakes from jobs that I've been fired from. So I know that I have to be careful. But I guess if you don't have that inner feeling of, oh, did I do the right thing or did I do the wrong thing? I think you come into next day going, oh yeah, this is okay. I'm okay at this job. I'll keep doing this. But I think if you have that energy of, geez, did I do the right thing? Did I ask the right thing? Did I annoy someone to the point that they're going to complain about me?
Mm-hmm.
I like that feeling because it means that I'm doing the best possible job that I can do. Because if everyone was agreeing with me, why would I even show up?
Huh? Okay, that's a good way to look at it. I like that. Yeah, I'm not around during the day, so when our programming staff are in the building, I'm always coming in after they're gone. So it's not like I get a lot of opportunities to get the feedback. I normally do that through email or phone calls, things like that.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, you go deal with your scandal. I'll deal with the plastic fork scandal, and we'll meet again in a week from today. How does that sound?
We'll be looking for those plastic forks, those very dirty, inefficient plastic forks.
Ryan, thank you.
Thanks, Drex. Oh, that is so cool. Our friend up in Canada, The Late Shift with Drex. We always have fun talking to him. I could do that all night. I really could. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, that's so fun. I really love hooking up with Drex. There was a quick article I wanted to get to here from The Sun, but there's a lot of different technology blogs that are covering this. It says, tech-obsessed humans may have hunched backs, two eyelids, and smaller brains in just 100 years. The scientists say, based on our habits of today, these are the likely ways that our body would have to adapt to our unhealthy ways. So they put together like this little picture of a woman, and she's hunched over and probably is wheezing. It looks like out of a horror movie, and they highlight some of the things that scientists think our body is going to have to adapt to based on the way that we use technology. So let's go over a few of those. It says hunched back, arched back, and neck. And the way they look at this is basically where your hairline would end on the back of your neck, as opposed to there being a little bit of space before you hit your shoulders. That's basically where your shoulders would start. So you're like neck shrinks, and you got apparently a super thick skull. And they say the reason for the thick skull is because we have our cell phones up to our head so often that all of the radiation coming off of this thing is going to make our skulls thicker to protect us from those radio waves. They also say we're going to grow a second eyelid because we don't blink enough because we're staring at screens all the time. So we're going to have to do a second eyelid, and we're going to have a text claw. So our hands are going to look a lot different too. So as opposed to our hands being freewheeling like they are now, imagine those old G.I. Joe action figures where you had the kung fu grip, you know, the kung fu grip. That's what it looks like. Almost like you're perpetually holding a bottle or can in your hand. But they say that it's going to have to change in order to adapt to what's going on there. So this is going to be a pretty dramatic physical change that's going to go on. Spending hours looking down at your phone will put a strain on your neck, so that's why they're going to have to make your neck muscles stronger, your neck smaller, and then your thick skull. Oh, and they say your brain's going to shrink too. Yeah, you're going to have a brain shrink because you don't need to think as much because your cell phone will do all your thinking for you. Thank goodness. I feel like that's already started based on how much people trust government, things like that. So scientists from the University of Toledo says the human body could change to limit the amount of damaging light by that second eyelid, staring at those screens all the time. And we already know that the body's adapting to it. Remember the story that they did a couple weeks ago? It was the one about some teens that are growing these little tails. Apparently, they're looking down so much at their phones, it's like hurting the cartilage in the back of their neck. And what happens is that when it starts to regrow, it hardens, and what it looks like is these little tails that are growing out of the back of the neck. This looks pretty miserable. You know, I look at the graphic they put together. So they have this skinny female wearing jeans and a tank top. She's got the kung fu claw going, like short hair. For some reason, they don't put long hair on this person. They decide to put like a shaved head, and they're hunched over with their shoulders out, which is the posture of many nuns at the Catholic school I went to. I say that jokingly because there were no nuns at the Catholic school I went to. But, you know, this is something I was shocked to find out on a side note. My fourth grade teacher, I always thought was like 90 years old. Well, apparently she wasn't. She was just someone that looked 90 years old. And the hunch did it. You add a hunch to a woman that's younger, let's say they're in their 50s, but really they look like they're in their 80s because of the hunch. I get it. So if you wanted to see what this tech-obsessed human race will look like in about 100 years, according to scientists, where I'm sure going to get this completely wrong, you can find that by going online. Just do a quick search, humans 100 years from now, and you'll find that graphic that's popping up. That's if Google allows you to see it. You know, they want to control the things you see. They may not want you to see this sort of thing. So they produced this model. It's called Toll Free Forwarding is the name of the company that produced the model to describe the physical changes that'll be as a trade-off to our benefits of technology. And yeah, 18 to 30-year-olds, they're already developing some of these problems that they're facing right now. People, they say, this is what crazy, this shocked me reading this because I feel like I may be part of the problem right now. It says people naturally blink 20 times per minute, 20 times per minute. But the rate drops between 1 to 3 times when they're concentrating on a screen. And I thought about this. I thought, okay, while I'm working, I'm going to try to count how many times I blink in a minute. It's definitely not 20 times a minute. It's probably closer to 3 than it is 20. I'm going to guess, let's say the middle is 10. I might be around that 10, but it's probably under, which is a shame. So I'm going to be growing a second eyelid before you know it. Man, that's scary. Probably better that than a tail. I don't know. What would be worse, a second eyelid or a tail? It's Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are yet again. And, oh boy, how about this? This will be fun. Doug calling in. The musician. You know your stuff, Doug. What's going on?
Well, I hope I do, but I can't guarantee. But I would give you 2 song suggestions for the Cardinals. This is what I'm thinking.
What do you got?
And you might laugh at this, okay?
I'm sure I will.
I'm thinking I was Disco Inferno.
Oh, why?
Why?
Burn, Baby, Burn, Disco Inferno?
Just because it's upbeat.
Okay.
You know, it's just fast and crazy. But Disco the other Inferno. One that I think might even be better than that is, and because I'll be because of Gloria being from the 80s and everything and
yeah.
with the blues, one from the 80s that was it still gets a big response with the crowds. I just saw it on Saturday.
What's that?
Footloose.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. What do you like about Footloose?
Again, it's just upbeat, and it's got that whole celebration kind of thing to it. You know, cut loose, footloose, you know, kick off Sunday shoes, that whole thing.
Yeah. What band did Disco Inferno?
Oh, boy. It's on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. I couldn't tell you what the name of the group was. But
it's a little trivia question for you.
Yeah, I should know that, but I don't. But, yeah.
It's the Tramps. Oh, yeah, this is a pretty popular one. What? So you said this was on Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah.
Never saw that movie.
Yeah, well.
It was not one that was in my rotation when I was younger, and I never really caught up to it.
To be honest with you, I didn't either.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a good... People reference it, they'll point it out. I don't know if it was just the music that made it or if it was actually a good movie or not. I don't know if I've ever read a review.
There were so many really hit songs in that movie. The album is just full of hits, you know?
Disco Inferno. Now, that's the way to do it. Do you listen to the Cardinals games?
Oh, sure.
How often?
Pretty much every time they're on.
Is that right? So you're a big-time Cardinals fan.
Well, I don't know stats and all that kind of stuff, but I like to listen to it. I enjoy it. It's a habit I picked up a long time ago. My grandpa used to sit on his porch and listen to the Cardinals game. I sit there with him, you know.
Feels pretty good, I bet. Get a little breeze going when it starts to cool down.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad, you know. When it starts to cool down, it's not bad. Of course, I sit on my patio, but I've got a fan.
Oh, perfect. That's all you need right there.
Yeah, I got a little fan that works just great. So, yeah. You know.
All right. So, Doug, thank you for those suggestions. Maybe we can find a song for the Cardinals to
read. I hope something can work for them because they need something to kick them.
They need to rekindle their ability to play again. Man, is it sad to watch.
They need a kickstart somewhere, you know.
All right. Well, thanks, Doug.
You bet. Bye. Talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you, too. Yeah, I figure if they bring back that old 1978 song, you know, you can do it. Dun, 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 dun. I think that's a possibility.
We can do it. We can win it all.
Bum, 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 bum.
We can do it. Watch them curve the ball. We can light up your day and thrill you at night. Put a smile on your face and make your spirits bright.
Bum, bum, bum,
Come on, Cardinals. This is our year.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hey,
you can do it. All right, so that was from 1978. They put together a really good jingle for that. So how did the Cardinals do in 1978? Well, they were second to last in the East Division. They went 69-90, 21st overall in the league. Oh, yikes. So maybe this isn't the song.
You can do it.
Dun, 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 dun. Hey, St. Louis, we can do it. Not every team could catch that glorious song and just be able to ride that thing through the playoffs. It's not a common thing to happen where a song catches on like that. It really isn't. Here's a little story. Maybe I'll do this real quick from The Atlantic. I had to look up this writer for The Atlantic, Lyman Stone, L-Y-M-A-N. And this is a report that they're basing off of the AEI report, the American Enterprise Institute. Now, that's a right-leaning think tank. So when I read this, I was kind of surprised. They're like, okay, they're coming to these conclusions. Maybe it's the way that they wrote it up that is confusing because they wrote this article that's called The Boomers Ruined Everything. The Boomers Ruined Everything. So what did the baby boomers ruin? Well, they're saying, okay, here's all the things that they did. And the way that he summarizes this, he makes it look like, oh, man, you baby boomers are all the worst generation, right? Instead of being the greatest generation, the ones that, you know, came up after World War II, they lay out all of these different findings in a way to say, here's why America's having a hard time right now, because you baby boomers hold down the youth and discriminate, and you're racist, and you're unfair, and you're dumb, and you're double racist, and, you know, you're rich, and they're poor, and this, and that, and this, and this is what they summarize. And I read that and I'm like, I'm scratching my head. I'm saying, this is what you believe is the problem. And maybe we'll go through some of those points coming up in a minute. Let me go to Patrick real quick in Town and Country. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, I think a good song for the Cardinals would be AC/DC, Back in Black.
Oh, why Back in Black?
Just because we're back in the sack. We got a good chance of still winning the division.
Okay, they're still Back in Black. Okay, that's a pretty rocking guitar riff in that one.
Yeah. That would be great.
They need something. I don't know how you're going to do it. So, Patrick, if you ever see a St. Louis Cardinal around town, have that ready to go and just play the song. Maybe it'll be the stroke of inspiration they needed to get things going.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, the Sony Walkman, you have it all times. Or maybe you have the CD in your car just ready to play it. You just have to pay attention and know who you're looking for. So, Overnight America. Did the boomers ruin everything. This commentary next on From the Atlantic on KMOX.
Welcome to...
Oh, you baby boomers ruining America. Yeah.
The Atlantic put out a editorial by Lyman Stone based on an American Enterprise Institute study, a report looking at the impact of baby boomers. And the very first sentence of this report, or at least the commentary side of it, is "The baby boomers ruined America." Of course, they'd take that. Well, hey, it's at least they're not blaming the millennials for 5 minutes. Here's the idea. So they took this report and they wanted to look at some of the problems that baby boomers have caused. And maybe you could agree with these, maybe you don't, but I think it's nonsense. But let's look at some of these. It says, American society is going through a strange set of shifts. Even as cultural values are in rapid flux, political institutions seem frozen in time. Ooh. Let it go. Let it go. One possibility is simply that Americans got older. The retiree share of the population is booming while birth rates are plummeting. But it's not just aging. In a variety of different areas, the baby boom generation created, advanced, and preserved policies that made American institutions less dynamic. So here's some of the different takeaways he had from this report. And keep in mind, the American Enterprise Institute is a right-leaning organization. It's not far left progressive by any means. But I feel like this commentary is taking this in a way to try to make it that way, right? They're trying to find a way to spin it any way that they can. So let me read a couple of the assertions that he, the takeaways that he saw. Number one, it says, it's not aging. It says, the baby boom generation created, advanced, and preserved policies that made American institutions less dynamic. Largely hasn't hurt boomers, but the mistakes of the past are becoming a crisis for younger Americans. So I'm going to read between the lines in each of these assertions that he wrote down. So, AKA, you're always holding down the youth. You baby boomers, you're always holding them down. See how it is? They're unable to succeed because of you baby boomers, always holding them down. They also say stricter zoning rules became many commonplaces in the 1940s and 50s. It says, then things got worse in the 60s to 80s. The shift is reflected in the increasingly frequent use of land. And you look at some of the different publications that are out there, and they say that zoning is intended to protect property values for homeowners and to exclude racial groups. So you baby boomers, you're out there always discriminating. Oh, everything you do. By being a homeowner, you are so discriminating other races by owning a home. Okay, there's one assertion. I'm just helping you read between the lines. It says, some researchers say at the end of a formal segregation may have pushed some voters to look for informal methods for enforcing segregation. See, you're racist too, baby boomers. All of these things, you got to get on board and get in line. You know, you're holding down the youth, you discriminate by owning a home, and you're racist with your informal methods of segregation by owning a home. What else did they say? Boomers didn't only make rules that nudge young people out of home ownership, they also made new rules restricting young people's employment. Laws and rules requiring workers to have licenses, degrees, and certifications over the past couple of decades have grown. See, baby boomers, it's unfair. It's unfair. The wild, wild west and higher use of safety regulations that were implemented over the years. It's your fault, baby boomers, that they want things to be safe again. Wait, so you're saying you don't want unlicensed people coming in? Go ahead and try to put that argument here to St. Louis, a big union town. Go ahead. No, yeah, go ahead. Come on in. Tell us about how we're unfair because of, you know, set of standards that are implemented. That they have to, make it sound like the baby boomers are grandfathered in and they don't have to comply with any sort of regulation. All right, so here we go. So far, you're holding down the youth, you discriminate, you're racist, and you're also unfair for the certain set of licensing that has changed over the years. All right, what else do they have here? It says, barriers to work have grown over time. Jobs that once required a high school degree now require college degrees. So the credentials are changing. Oh, baby boomers. You so dumb. You know, you're trying to make everyone else work around you, but man, you are the real dumb ones. This is so stupid. I have a hard time reading this out loud, the assertions of this report. What else do they got here? It says enforcement, actual enforcement mechanism for the norm is generational. Older employees setting standards for young job applicants. Oh, no kidding. So you're saying that the people that are the managers and the owners of the businesses have a certain standard that they uphold in their own business, that it's unfair to the youth who come in and, you know, complain about things like, oh, I don't feel like I can wake up and get here by 9 o'clock. I think I'll start my day at noon and I need to match my aura with the sun. So I need to get out. I need to get out and do my yoga 3 times a day just to make sure my aura is properly aligned with Venus or whatever. You know, you see these really stupid things every once in a while online where you got to cater to the millennials, I guess, and that's the kind of stuff they like. Research has also shown that imprisonment patterns in America were heavily biased by race, with incarceration rates not always reflecting actual rates of criminality. So again, you're double racist now. You're double racist because, you know, some people commit crimes and they go to jail for committing those crimes. Now you're double racist, you baby boomers. Even young Americans today who are free from prison are nonetheless in bondage. Sometimes you own debt. Sometimes you're rapidly growing student loan debt. Sometimes you have credit card loans. So let's read between the lines there, too. You baby boomers are rich and you're holding everyone else down and you want everyone else to be poor. Oh, you rich, they poor. That's your problem, right? The odds of 32-year-olds dying have risen by 24% in the past years. Death rates among older Americans are stable, so they say boomers are living longer because they're not taking the opioids and drugs like the younger generation's taking. Thus, there's more use of pensions and longer use of need for government care when it comes to, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, all of those other things that go on with it, Social Security. It says the solution, strict standards need to be repealed. Minimum lot sizes can be reduced, aka you're buying too big of a property lot. Your home ownership is a problem. So we need to cut into what the property lots are, and you're not allowed to buy a lot bigger than a certain size that the government's going to allot for you. Building height ceilings can be raised. Nonviolent prisoners can have their sentences commuted. Control over blah, 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 blah. It's just stupid. Whenever these different ones come out, it's normally trying to rail on the millennials. Here, all of these things I can read and I can think to myself, well, I'm not a baby boomer. I'm actually a late end millennial and I don't have any issue working. I don't have any issue finding a way to build wealth for myself, pay off my debts, the ones that I got myself into. I don't have any problem doing that. I'm able to own a home. I've owned 2 homes. I had one in Indiana, sold it, and bought one out here because home ownership was a priority for me and my family. We wanted to do that as opposed to rent. That's not a priority for everyone else. You know, calling baby boomers, they're out there and they're racist because people commit crimes and they go to jail for committing those crimes. And that's baby boomers' fault, I guess. And they're unfair because they, you know, like in a union town like St. Louis, have a certain standard that they have to. Why even have any standards in the workplace? It should be the wild, wild west. If you want to go out there and you're an electrician, you don't have any training, but hey, by all means, go out there without a license and do your stuff. This is crazy talk. So, no, it's funny. You know, the only reason this is funny is because it's shifted so far to the other side with complaining about millennials. Either this is a satirical piece and they can't be serious, or it's just completely absurd. One of the two. I think it's more absurd. That does it for Overnight America. Don't forget you can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. KMOX.com/ONA. That's how you can listen to the podcast anytime, anywhere. We'll be back again tomorrow night after Cardinals baseball. We'll see you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.